All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Todd Fedoric, The Fridge, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorilla?
How you making out?
Oh, man, great. Great. How you doing?
Doing well.
You know what I'm fired up about?
Tell me.
June 9th.
Ooh, what's June 9th?
Big tailgate.
Oh, yeah. In the books?
Yes, it's in the books. It's happening. Our good friends, sponsors Clear Rum.
Yep.
And fans of Philly, our boy Joe DiBiagio. We're getting it together.
We're
getting everyone together. June 9th. Are you excited?
I'm excited. It's clearly not a Flyers tailgate, is it?
It's not a Flyers tailgate. It is not. It's for the Phillies. The Dodgers are in town. But can't wait, man. It's going to be so much fun. And like I said, Clear Rum and fans of Philly jumping in with us. It's going to be awesome.
Yep, 4 to 7. Come out if you guys are around.
I might be there before 4.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I might be in rare form by 4. Last time I was.
I know. I remember. Yeah. Very correctly. You were overserved.
I was overserved. It wasn't my fault.
It was the sun. It's too hot.
It was kind of warm that day. I would imagine it'll be warm in June.
I would think so.
But yeah, man, I'm excited. We got a lot of our friends and everybody coming. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and still figuring out the lot. We will keep you guys posted. Yeah. We'll be posting some stuff on social media. Keep you guys in the loop. And if you guys are around, have some time, come check us out. Say hi.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So
maybe some special guests there too.
Special guests? Ooh.
Yeah.
You got up your sleeve, Nas.
I can't give it away yet. Yeah. Well, you know? It's kind of like you pocket. When we were going in the checkup for charity and you start throwing out injury reports for everyone.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, I can't give it away.
Out of commission.
Your back was out of commission. You played well, though. You fought through it.
Oh, I did.
You're a hockey player.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, so everybody mark it down. June 9th, it's going to be great, 4 to 7. Not sure of the lot yet, like Riggs said, but it's going to be awesome. Clear Rum, fans of Philly, Nasty Knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So Got to jump into this playoffs real quick.
Yeah.
Toronto. You're a Canadian. Yeah. I know you're not a Toronto fan or anything like that, but wow. Like, Florida, first of all, give them credit.
Yeah,
you got to give them a ton of credit. They knocked off Boston. They knocked off Toronto. But, man, in my opinion, the casual play of the big boys for Toronto, it's just unacceptable.
They just didn't want it bad enough.
It looked like that, honestly. Like, I mean, being honest, 3 goals between the big four there.
I know. It's hard to...
Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander. That might be the, and I'm not shitting on, but that might be the first time I've seen Nylander dig in and go to the goal. He scored that goal late to tie the game. Like, why does he not play like that all the time? Like,
because it's hard to do that.
It is hard, but man, do you want to win?
Well,
do you want to win?
That's always the question, you know. Like, guys dig in at the right times and situations. Those are the guys that, you know, have a good track record of winning, right?
Right.
I mean, they're digging in all the time. It's consistency.
You watch I watched all those games, and even the guys on TV talking about it are like, they're just not engaged enough.
Yeah.
Florida's a hard team to play against. And it looked like
there's no pushback.
They didn't want to play against them because it's hard.
Yeah. You'd think that line could generate more production by accident than what they did.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and I hate to say, like, I'm not going to sit here, like, I didn't play the game, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they didn't try. But it looked bad. Yeah. It looked casual. It looked like, you know.
Yeah. Then again, giving.
Won an easy game, right?
Easy game. That's it, right? And Florida comes at them. They're relentless. They're resilient. So.
And we got to talk about games. the game winner Nick Cousins, Goody going to that net, and he did grab the guy's stick, but it's the playoffs. Nothing's getting called unless it's a high stick. Someone shoots the puck, you know, delay a game that you know is happening.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice it until they slowed it down. You're telling me a ref sees that? There's no way.
No way.
They're watching everything else, but.
And Gudas's foot speed.
Yeah.
Like flying. Like, you know what I mean?
He made that pass and went to the net. And, you know, you got to give, like, Cousy some credit, too, to kind of hold let him get there. And the other D, I think, thought that pass was coming. Because Cousy's not – I don't want to say he's not a shoot-first guy, but he really isn't. He makes a lot of passes.
He does make a lot of those little small passes.
But he kind of curled it and snapped it.
It was great. Great teaching clip for all the young viewers and listeners out there. I mean, to me, that was like a textbook as far as like D-man jumping up in the play,
and
driving
stopping,
the net,
and stopping at the net, which you see a lot of guys curl away. It's easy to do. You do it quite a bit, men's
always. Every shift.
I do because I don't want to get hit.
Yeah. It's too much work.
To stop and then start back up. But anyway, just wanted to touch on that because now we got Carolina, who's hot, played really well, playing the Florida Panthers now. So what do you got?
Well, I'm going to go with the Panthers. I mean, it's tough to go against Carolina, but I'm just liking what I see with the Panthers. I mean,
they don't go away.
Exactly. Yeah. You obviously knock off Boston, then Toronto. I don't know. I just like their swagger, I guess.
Yeah, they do have some swag.
But it's not going to be easy series.
I don't think so either.
6 or 7 games. I mean, I would say Florida in 7.
In 7, yeah. I'm going to go with Florida, and I don't like betting against Rod Brindamore. I know he's not playing. He's the coach, but that team is fun to watch. They're fast as well.
Yeah.
They don't quit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good. I think it'll be a better series. That's my opinion. I think it'll be a better series than the other one, but Vegas and Dallas.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good series. I think I got Vegas in that one.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're going to.
That one, Mike, I think that one's going to go 7-2. I think they're both back and forth teams. I haven't watched much these games out west, but.
Yeah, I was watching the Dallas game against the Kraken the other night, game 7 there. And Sagan, like guys like Sags and Jamie Benn, they may not be throwing up crazy numbers like Ty Domi. Max Domi is played really well, and his points are up there, but like watching him, I'm not comparing him to Matthews. Matthews obviously has a lot more points than Sags does in the regular season, but Sags was trying and he's playing hard and he's battling. Like, that's the difference to me with those guys that make that money when you get to the playoffs. And Sagan won his rookie year, you know, so he's probably like, oh man, it's, you know, not that it's easy, but I will give those guys credit because they're working their bags off and they play hard, man. So, and Vegas does as well.
Yep.
So we'll see, but I think Vegas might win that series. So that's who I got.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, and I think to your point there, that is the leadership that you need to say break through, and that's why they're in the situation they're in. Is like, they might not be producing as much offensively, point wise, but if you're not producing offensively, you got to be doing all these small intangible things that every coach talks about, right?
Right.
Because the game is tight, and there's defensive responsibilities we got to take care of that you know are equally as important in scoring every night, right? So it's leadership, right? It's just that you can see guys that know what it takes, you know, know what these small details are that you have to take care of. And I didn't see that with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I didn't either. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of summer they have. If they keep their coach, if the
are they
GM
blowing the ship up?
I don't know. I think you got to do something.
You got to do something.
You have to do something.
I think you got to do something, but I'm not sure what that.
I don't know what that is either.
Is that a coaching issue?
Well, is the GM there?
Yeah, I mean, the shelf life of general managers and coaches is not very long, anyway. So, in a big market city, you don't have much flexibility to lose,
right? That's for sure. It was funny. They always show like the box up there with the GM and all that, but they seem to show him a lot because he seemed to be losing his cool a lot.
Yeah, you never see that
before. You don't usually see that with GMs. Maybe once in a
while. Maybe a little fist pump here and there.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he was more angry half the time than anything. But I mean, maybe he had a feeling, or maybe someone said, hey, you better
show some emotion.
Better do something. No, not show emotion, but something better happen this year, or, you know, maybe we're going to clean the house. But who knows?
I'm sure he feels the pressure like most of these guys do.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
Maybe he did get the little tap and said, you know, when you're up there in the box, show a little more emotion.
Spaz doesn't.
No, not even phased.
He's like Debo up there. I don't know.
Not even phased.
You probably texted.
Probably crushed Debo. A 25 milligram edible.
Probably did. Good for him if he did.
Who knows?
He
was unfazed by.
He was definitely unfazed
by his antics.
He's throwing water bottles. He's slamming. Spaz just sitting there, man.
Yeah,
chilling.
No big deal.
It's a good way. I don't know how you could do that, though. I don't know exactly what Spez does with the team, but I'd be a little bit more engaged, I think. Because I'm a little wound up anyway. You know that.
Well, but calm the nervous system now.
Yeah, I know. I should.
It's a little excited.
I should. But interesting to see. Can't wait for these series to start. So they start this week.
Yeah. Should be good. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
I think we're ready, Nast.
I think we're ready.
Yeah. Episode 118.
You got that right? Yeah. 118. Yeah. With our good friend, the Fridge, Todd Fedoric.
Yeah. 2.0.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we have, I actually feel really tough right now. I'm centering two pretty tough gentlemen. Former NHL enforcer. These days, a partner at New Life Medical Addiction Centers. Our good friend of the show, friend of us, friend of ours. Mr. Todd Fedoric, Fridge, what's up, brother?
How you been?
Oh, just hanging and banging, bro. That's just about what I do, man. Yeah.
Some things never change.
Yeah,
man.
That's right.
Yeah, gotta be you, right?
I love it. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you.
What's going on?
Yeah, you know, spring is here. There's a lot going on in Flyer land. There's a lot going on in playoffs. There's, you know, you're always tied to hockey no matter what. We played. I loved it. You know, I loved the game, and fortunate to stay in this area, make this area my home, and then you know, do stuff in the community, and obviously working at New Life with Dr. Savon. He's a tremendous doctor. We've got a great staff over there helping people with, obviously, you know, mental health issues, substance use disorder, and you know, it's rewarding work. It's tough work. It's hard work. It's dedicated work. And I'm up for it, you know, and obviously doing stuff with the alumni still and always staying involved, and then get to see Riles every once in a while and the guys that are still here. And yeah, man, just, I guess, living the dream after the dream.
That's right, yeah, brother. Yeah.
Actually, I end up seeing you quite a bit these days.
Yeah.
The school visits and, the alumni stuff, alumni games, and do the Flyers recess, have some fun with that.
Wait a minute. So you guys have been playing hockey together, and you're not on?
Yo.
So he's not on the team?
I guess not.
Are you going to join our men's league team? Well, you imagine how big people be pissed off. You need it. It's only one day a week, Sundays.
Sundays.
But there are games where we have good times at Hollydale. Like, we had good times.
Well, he'll make as many games as I made this past season.
He would make more than you.
Probably.
I'll go pick him up.
You know what? I still get the itch. I still get the itch. I don't mind going out there.
How would you do, though, if someone gave you a little slash? Do you think?
I don't do out that. Well, the alumni game we had at Wells Fargo Center, Marshy did that to me. Like,
oh, I remember that.
Buttons.
I thought you guys were going to go.
Don't push like,
oh, man. That was close.
And it's not his fault. And it's, you know, it's just hockey. And it's, yeah, you just get into that stuff. It's, I don't know if it's in the game anymore. I don't think it is. But
not like it was. That's for sure.
Just two guys that still care about competing. And I think that'll, I hope I never lose that, you
right.
know? Not where I'm punching people every day and stuff, but
well, like Frankie?
Just that fire in your belly right. to you know, have that little right. bit of juice in the tank. You know?
Riles has only gotten worked up two times in the last couple years. One was at Check for Charity the day that my buddy was raking on your wrist there a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Crossing the line.
Yeah, Riles felt like he crossed the line. And then we played in a game after a Flyers game this year at the center.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the goalie was chirping him. Another shout out to him. He talked about him quite a bit.
I thought we were over that. We apologized.
Man, I'm like,
it happens.
I'm like, hey,
it happens.
Fuck, what's going on
here?
Oh,
yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah, you're right. You don't lose that.
Yeah. As much yoga and meditation I've done, still get pissed off now and then.
You got it, man.
Progress.
You got it.
It's progress.
Yeah. Practice.
So Fridgy, the big story right now is Keith Jones and Danny Breer, and it's actually really exciting right now. I guess talk about Jonesy first, because, you know, you're buddies with him as we are.
I'm going to give you my honest take, because the way that came out, it kind of trickled out on, like, I seen it first, you guys saying it, and I was like, oh, they're messing around. But then if you think about it, you're like, wait, that's actually, I really hope that happens, but it could be a joke in the same.
Yeah.
Either way, it could have went. But then I started getting excited. I'm like, this actually, you think about it. And if you think about the Flyers and whole, we just talked about this before, you got three things that can encapsulate what we are at the start of this new era that they're talking about. It's cool, swagger, and we got class. I think we got all three of those elements. And cool is being cool again, like with Jonesy.
Yeah.
I think we got the coolest kid in campus. You know, he's well-liked amongst all the teams.
Exactly.
People that build teams. He's got to tell their story. He's had to tell their story in media. And I Jones, he's well-liked.
He really is,
he's sharp. He's smart. He's witty. It's exciting. And then you move down to Torts, and like, he's got that swagger. He's going to implement that swagger into the team and make sure that they're working hard. They're playing hockey, which is a tough game, and it's a hard game. And that's part of Flyers hockey, too. And then Danny B, man, he's got some class. He's got some experience, and I don't know. And then even with Hilferty, too.
Yeah.
Like Hilferty, yeah. Mr. Hilferty is I'm obviously been in healthcare for almost 10 years now. And he's on a pedestal up there amongst leaders in this area, in that space. And that's important. I think that's really important. He's from here.
And
he grew up a fan, and he grew up understanding what we carried as the Flyers. And, yeah, teams can lose that, but I think that we're on a really, really strong path to recapturing whatever it is that is Flyers. Because we lost our way a little bit with Mr. Snyder passing. That happens. But you
fully agree.
I think they said it best, by you can honor their memory of him,
right?
Also with the people that are still from that time,
I'm
talking about Clarkie and Homer and Billy and those guys that are still here. We can honor his legacy of the Flyers through the memory, his memory through them still, you know. But moving forward, I like the way it starts. It's kind of that, it's just like a Ferrari in the car.
Yeah.
All we got to do is put gas in it. So all the pieces are there. I think
everything.
I'm
you
excited.
Just, exactly. Everything you just said is so spot on. And the other good thing I believe with Danny and Jonesy is that they were a part of the Flyers when Mr. Snyder was alive. Yeah. And they saw how it was ran and the love and the care that this man had for you guys, for all of us, his staff, everyone. And that's so big. And, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, we've talked about this before, well, got another Flyers in here. Yeah, you need Flyers in here. You need people like Jonesy.
Yeah.
This isn't just let's get a Flyer guy. Like, this guy's...
Yeah, he was the biggest, for you said. I know. He was like the best in the game. Like, he just happened to be a Flyer.
And he snuck under the radar.
Yeah, he did.
And I loved what he said. You know, he explained, well, I didn't want people to know because if I didn't get it, then I've got it. I know.
Yeah, he's a ninja.
He's calculated.
Even when we heard it, we were like, all right, this is cool. Like, because this guy is legit. He's smart. Like, everything you just said, like, Jonesy's got it.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
And I believe in Danny as well. And like you said, you got a hard-nosed coach. We could see this year, we talked about this a million times, you don't like losing, but there's a wrong way and a right way to lose games, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's when you watch some games, you're like, you know the guys all care, Fridgy, you played a long time. There's nights where it doesn't look good, but it looked bad.
Mm.
Not this year, the year before, and even the year before that, it was getting ugly, and even the players knew it. But this year, at least, there was some fuck you, there was some fight.
Yeah.
They never gave up, and I think that's only going to get better, you know?
I agree. Yeah, and it takes losing. You know, it takes really understanding that, you know, we're kind of lost as a franchise, and coming with Torts last year, I'm not saying lost, like, we're on the way back, and it's rebuild is something we've never... I remember them saying, we don't say that around here.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Rebuild, and the franchise has never rebuilt, and this is kind of the first time we're doing it. But, no, it's an exciting time, and I think that the right guys are at the helm. And you go back to, like, and you hear that, it's just former Flyers. I don't... These guys ended up being Flyers. You should take a little bit of a... put a feather in your cap for that, because Mr. Snyder, the Flyers... They breed good hockey men.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They breed good 100%. Hockey guys. And Jonesy alluded to that, and they just ended up being Flyers. But they're the two best candidates, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Jonesy, for sure. And Briere,
He's paid his dues.
Yes. He's on the resume. He's built it from... He spent time in Trenton, right? Or not Trenton. In
Maine. East Coast. Yeah. Maine, yeah.
Managing.
He followed Homer around for how many years?
So
business
it's...
side of things.
How do you do that in the corporate world, fellas? You start at the bottom, you work your way up. Yeah, well, you got to do that when you're done hockey. And it's not a lot of guys can eat their humble pie and go do that.
That's right.
And he put his time in down there. So then you learn a lot, man.
Like, oh, yeah.
I just remember in Trenton. And that's just the East Coast. So then you trickle down. So if you're associated with a team and you're down in the third tier, two or three guys go up on the big club. That means three or four guys come up from the AHL, five or six guys come up from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I remember Vince Williams, who's actually, he's a scout for Vegas now.
Yep.
That's right.
I was assistant coach with him first year out. And
He's like, you and Vince?
Yep. V-dubs. V-dubs.
Yeah.
Tremendous hockey guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He learned from some good guys too, Jacques Lemaire. But he was like, he seriously asked me, you got any buddies in the area that can play? And I was like, yeah, there's a couple of guys. He goes, I'm serious. We need players for tonight. We just had five guys called up, and I don't have a team for tonight. And that's what the coast is.
Right.
You gotta find guys that might be playing club at some of the universities or playing maybe D3 or maybe not D3, but you got to worry about finding players. And you learn a lot, and you learn it quick, and you learn how important it is to make the decisions in his position.
Yeah,
that trickled down, because there's a downstream effect to those decisions.
Yeah, so yeah, I wear a lot of hats.
I'm glad I'm not a GM.
What do you see the rebuild looking like? What do you think the Flyers need the most?
I have no idea. I think the most important thing, I think, for any team in the NHL, because it's... you can't judge who's going to win. You can't pick the winner. It's so even across the board. So there's an element, I think, of that team, the room, and how strong they are and how tight they are. That I think that is probably the best starting point. Like, get that locker room loving each other, get those guys understand they're going into battle, get that character, that charisma, that us versus them mentality in there. That's the one thing I think that Jonesy's going to be good at doing. Danny's going to be tremendous at doing. Like, it's an exciting time. And then Torts is all about that. He knows what that's about. And I think that's an element. Like, you're going to look for character guys, guys that are going to play hard-nosed hockey. You got to find your way to – what does intimidation look like in today's hockey game? Because that's who we are.
Yeah.
Right, like we birthed intimidation into hockey, and it was a valuable factor. It's not necessarily in the same shape, right? In pugilistic behavior, right, if you want to call it, but there's an element of intimidation that is in sports and in competition that I think if anybody's going to own it in the NHL, might as well be the Flyers.
I agree.
Find that in today's game.
I agree, and I think right now a team like Florida Panthers, the way they're playing, I'm not saying it's intimidating, but they're hard to play against, and that's one of the biggest they are relentless, and they play hard, but they do have the butcher back there folding people in half. But those are the kind of guys that are key for you, especially in the playoffs. Fridge, you know that. I think that's the biggest thing, but the Flyers do have some toughness now. You know, Chuck had went out and got DeLaurier, who is a tough man, and he made guys answer the bell, you know, a few times. And we had Big Mac, but, you know, he got moved on. Good for him. But I think the Flyers don't get pushed around. That's for sure.
No. Yeah, absolutely. That's a no-go zone.
Yeah. Right.
And Jonesy was talking about, you know, beefing up the back end, you know, really having like an advanced back end, which makes a shitload of sense, right? I mean, Torts' system is more defensive than offensive, and I think you have to have a strong blue line. What are your thoughts on that, and, you know, just the direction of
fast? Like, the ideal D-man is a fast-moving, big, heavy D-man that can move guys and not finish hits, but play physical in the right times and then move that puck. Like, you gotta think, these guys gotta move that puck two zones like laser. There's no Chris Pronger's out there, right?
Right.
But beef it up. I think that there's skill there. We've got some, you know, we've got some skills that can QB the quarterback. York can work back there, and I don't know. Like, do you draft that? Is that the one thing you go after? But if they're focused on defense, I mean, you got your goaltender.
Yeah, exactly.
You got it. Carter Hart's going to be the man. He's going to be the man.
24 years old.
Yep. He's going to be the man. We're going to get behind him no matter what. Yeah, like, he's going to be the guy. So if you hear that, Carts, you're the dude, man. Yeah. We're riding you. Get used to it, and it's going to be fun. But defense is the next step. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Best defense. Like, that's how you win championships.
It is. Right? And you know, like, there's talks about, obviously, Ivan Provorov, I would say the number one D-man on the team, in my opinion. I don't know. But you talk to him being moved, it's going to be a lot of minutes that you're going to have to try to find a player to replace if you do move him. But maybe you get a young D-man back or a pick back, you know, for him. Who knows how that's going to work out? Maybe he doesn't get traded. But we've heard that. We've heard, like, Tony could be traded from the the back end. So it'll be interesting to see. It's hard to say, oh, here's what we're going to do, because we don't know yet. The season's still – obviously the playoffs are still going on. But Danny alluded the other day to the fact that the more teams go out, the more there's more messages being sent to him and more talk. So obviously as soon as the cup's raised, that's when it's really going to pick up. And obviously the draft is coming up. So it's exciting to have that to look forward to, you know, as a Flyer fan anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a clean slate, like as clean as you can get. I think that we got youth, I think we're doing the seventh pick, so it's a clean slate with guys that know the game. They know where the players are, they know the tendencies, and they know what a good team looks like. So
yeah
it's just, we get behind them, support every decision. Like, how can you not? If they have a vision for it, you got to support them until they fail. So and then pick them up, right? Like, I hopefully they're going to do it the right way. I think they try to emulate the teams that win, right, from previous years, but it's still the same formula. Playoff hockey is different. That level
different,
of
man.
Grit goes up, and you need the heavy players to play hard and long and get you through that juggernaut, you know. So I'm excited for the whole summer. It's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I agree.
100%.
I was going to ask you, Friggy, towards the end of the season, Torts made a comment about not identifying a captain going into next season. You know, being a young team, what are your thoughts on that approach, or do you think it might change, you know, going into the season?
Well, leadership is critical. That's the kind of the one, the fulcrum of between, that's the message between the coach and player. Like, someone's got to talk to the coach, because not every player wants to.
You gotta anoint.
Someone's got to be anointed with that.
Yeah.
I'm from the school of let the players vote. Stay out of it.
You know what,
who's my captain? Let them determine who captain is, and then support it. Like, if the coach agrees with it, like, let them choose it. I don't think that should be something that goes outside the room, right? You know,
but to go into the season without a captain, like, to publicly say that, like, do you have any thoughts on that approach, that strategy, maybe how it works or doesn't work?
I think it's just not committing to somebody right now.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we're going to have in September.
Yeah.
Like, right. you could have three captains come in.
That's, you know, true.
Which one's going to arise. Yeah. So leave it open. Like, that's a true, that gives a true clean slate.
Yeah.
Nobody's got anything here. It's every spot on this team is open.
Yeah,
so
right.
Who wants to come here with Jonesy? Like, those three are leading it, basically.
For
They got Mr. Hilferty supporting them, and you know, all the people over at the Flyers as well. They do real hard to do the work over there, man. Yeah.
Another thing about that, Friggy, is you never know. Like, I know Torts is the coach, but Keith Jones may be like, no, we're going to have a captain.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he is, but he might be like, hey, this is important. Like, let's... I know you said we're not going to, but even if we don't name it till November, let's get a captain in place. And they have a couple good options here.
Yeah, they
Coots,
do. Yeah,
Lotz was the only guy that wore a letter this year. Of course, Coots didn't play. But, you know, I feel like I know you have guys in there that are captain that are leaders in that room, and you don't have to point them out. Everyone knows, but... To me, I would like that. I think.
Yeah.
Like, you ever played on a team without a captain?
No, it's weird.
It's weird.
I want a captain. I want to know who's the captain to deal with stuff, because there's functions. You got to function stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Although, every time we were doing something, I would be like, what do you want to do about this? Go ask AMAC.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're the captain.
That's where they got the assistants.
Go ask AMAC or you know, another guy that's one of the captains. But I just feel like I think it's good to have a captain.
Well, I agree, and that's why I asked. I just thought it was like a little premature to make a bold statement like we're going into this next season without a captain. You know, without even knowing how, you know, the offseason is going to go, or, you know, the training camp's going to go, especially when you have, like, we were talking about some good candidates there, and, you know, who knows? Maybe it was just the way, you know, Torts is, and
who would you
flies
pick?
Away.
I know who I'd like Lotz.
I would like Lotz, too. I mean, that would be my
pick. I've known him the longest. He's been through the ups and downs. I watched him in Lehigh. You coached him in Lehigh.
Exactly.
What a gentleman. How did he handle that? Like,
amazing.
I remember that.
He would be my vote for sure.
I was kind of when Richie was here, I was like, oh, this guy's kind of emulating Richie a little bit. And the other thing,
it's his favorite player too, by the way.
No way, really?
Yeah, that's his favorite player. Yeah.
Oh, see, there you go. Yeah. That's why. That's funny, because Richie's he's a natural leader. Right. Richie's a natural leader.
Yeah.
I was like, I liked that guy, man. I liked following him, the way he played, everything. It was fun to play with Richie, and no wonder that Lotz. I remember the first time I met Lawton. He was the only guy that shook my hand and the other alumni hand down on the shore when the rookies come down to do that camp.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy McCrossin came off. Hey, Fridge, how you doing? Shook everybody's hand. And Lotz came off, shook all our hands, looked us in the eye. And I don't know if it was Joe or somebody said, no, that's a good hockey boy.
Right, sounds about right.
Joe Watson?
I go, you know what, though? That is important. Yeah, that was important to me. It was raised a certain way. And
of course.
That's what gentlemen do, good men do. They look someone in the eye when they meet them and shake their hands.
Yeah.
And I like that about him. And I was like, that guy's a leader, man.
Yeah.
And he is.
He really is.
I like his game. Maybe not be that most, you know, what is it? Because you got to have that charisma in Philly, man. Like, you got to have that, the ability to, like, Pronger had it.
Yeah,
you got to be able to huck mud with the media here and play with them properly, and it helps. It helps because the media's got to be on our side in this town, because the fans got to be on our side, and
if
you go out on the ice and you're messing around, you know, they let you know it. So I like Lots. That would be my guy again, but I'm not in the locker room.
Right. Yeah. I saw Koo. I was telling Riles earlier. I saw Coots for a little bit yesterday, and we were shooting the shit, and one good thing is he's feeling great.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. He's another candidate, I if you said it was Lawton or Coots, I'm not going to be upset about it.
No, of course
you know what
not.
I mean? But I agree, like, Lots, like, obviously love this kid, like, known him forever, and Coots has known Coots forever as well, and I feel like they're both great candidates for it, either one, but who knows what they have it up their sleeve, you know? I mean, Coots isn't as vocal as everyone, as Lots.
That's what I meant about Lots, too.
But he's good. He talks a lot. He's really good in the locker room. Even when he was, younger, coming up in my last, even when I was there last, like, he's a really good locker room guy.
Yeah.
And he brings a lot to the table, and you never have a night where you think, well, Lots didn't really give her tonight.
Yeah,
you know, like,
he's always buzzing.
He gives it, so... Yeah. Like you guys said, like, Lots is a great pick. I think Coots, we've talked about it a little bit before, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, maybe Jonesy says, hey, and Danny, you know, we need a captain. Let's set a captain here and go with it. But I guess we'll see.
We'll see,
As of right now, it's not happening. How do you go about that? Oh, man.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Well, shifting gears, Friggy, playoff hockey. There's a few former Flyers, former Phantoms, floating
Florida,
around.
Especially Florida.
You had a chance to see Nick Cousins in Lehigh.
Yeah.
Seeing this guy evolve as a player and now being a pesky Panther.
Wow. He is playing. He's playing basically the top line with Tkachuk and Bennett. And talk about a relentless line. And then you got, Cousy's just chirping.
Oh, all the time.
He's just chirping. but, like, you know, former Flyers on that team, we got Goody. Alex Lyon is the one that actually pushed them into the playoff spot. He was playing ahead of Bob. Now Bob's back in the net playing unreal. We got Roddy Brind'Amour coaching Carolina. So that series has quite a few former Flyers, which is kind of cool. And it's hard not to pull for Florida right now. Ghost. Ballers wearing your jersey, Ghost. I'm really excited to watch that series.
Yeah,
I don't know how busy you are.
There's a history of this with the Flyers.
Yeah, right.
But what does it tell you? It tells you that we make good hockey players here.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
They weren't. They weren't.
Them and move them
they weren't bust. They weren't
go
bust.
Somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, you tell me you don't want Radko Gudas on a playoff team?
Are you
kidding me?
Yeah, no kidding.
I like the way he plays.
Oh, my God. I love the way he plays in the regular season. And he's not like he's a terrible player.
No.
Like, he can play.
Yep.
But... anyway, I just wanted to touch on, I know how busy you are, but Toronto, like, I think they were just happy they got out of the first round.
And I think so.
I'm sure that's not the case. But it felt like that watching them play against Florida. I mean, the casualness of their play to me was just I don't understand it. And it's your top players there. Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, Marner. Between them all, they get three goals, those guys.
Exactly.
And look at the salaries on those, just those four guys.
I know.
Like, to
unacceptable,
me, that's why Florida reminds me of the 2010 team we had.
Yeah.
When we snuck into the playoffs, they snuck in.
Yeah.
Barely snuck in. And they're rolling.
Yeah.
They're just hard to play against. Fridge, back to your point, being that team that's hard to play against.
Yeah.
And you need that every night.
Yeah, because you wear down the other team in a seven-game series, and all these games go seven games, so you're changing your mode of operations. You're wearing them down. That means you're playing more physical. You're hitting them, and it has an effect in a seven-game series. Oh. So the grittier team, if you want to play stats, they're going to win. They're going to win in that seven-game series. They got to have skill. It's got to be a perfect mix. But, yeah, the Toronto, that's that no highs, no lows. And I get it. I get it, man. That was a first round slump like no other.
It's
with quality players, quality management too. Like, they've had some good management in there through the years, good coaching as well.
Yeah.
And just have never been able to do it. And that's, I don't know, they just came out flat, I guess, and you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that. Not in playoffs, man. It's go time, and it gets harder and harder every way. And that's lesson learned, right? But don't repeat. Like, now you know.
Yeah.
You got to take that into the next year, I guess. But I think the whole country of Canada and the NHL themselves really wanted to see them go deep.
For sure.
In the back of their head, because, like, that would be great for the game.
Edmonton would be good.
Edmonton too.
Superstars there.
Yep.
We've talked about this, Fridgie. Like, here we go again. Edmonton loses again. I mean, they got two of the best players, obviously, in the world. But you can't win with just those two. And other guys did step up. Evander Kane, he's a tough fucker.
Yeah.
That guy's hard to play against. But, like, what do you do? Like, I don't. What do you do in Toronto? Do you blame the coach? Do you blame the GM? Baller had some good points earlier about a couple of moves that were made there that I actually had forgotten about that weren't that great. But after this performance in the second round, when your top players, like, the balls to – they underperformed.
Big time.
Yes. To make a move, you imagine you're the guy that trades Austin Matthews, or you got to trade Mitch Marner, like any of these guys, but something has to be done there.
Like, yeah, I would say so.
I mean,
up their core a little bit.
Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Yeah,
man.
That's it. Right?
It's just,
you know,
and they're great players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, they're great players though. That's the thing, and it just, but it doesn't translate that. I don't know. I don't want to say it's easy in the regular season.
It's a team sport, man. It's catching lightning in a bottle. Like,
there's
one team
too.
Out of all 32. You're grabbing your athletes on a global scale, and it's a third. You get a third come from Canada, a third come from the U.S., and a third come from Europe. It is lightning in a bottle. It's top down, like the management, even the stats and all the numbers that are now so prevalent in the game, they do give you the edge. But, you know, it's just hard. It's hard to win, man. Even if you think you got it all, and you, like, that team, yeah, they're stacked on paper.
Boston.
Yeah, Boston,
exactly,
too.
Yeah.
And a great storyline, too. But I will not say they didn't show up. They did not show up.
Yeah, I agree.
They just ran into a hot Panthers team that found a way in overtime in game seven to win, man.
Yeah, there's something to say for where you're at heading in now. Like, I think that's even more important in today's game, because resting and being kind of ready, and we would pull guys out going into playoffs.
Right.
Now it's like you want to be that team that is
full
grinding
steam
in to get in, and then you're playing at a level ahead of the guys that they need to catch up to.
Yeah.
So those, and Florida's one of those teams, Flyers, like that started happening. So those guys that have the momentum, those teams that have those momentum, I think those are the ones that, you know, going deeper. If you don't have it and you run into it, you know it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the teams that obviously got upset, those are the teams that run into that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you play with Brindamore?
No, he just went down to Carolina.
Oh, but really?
I was here when I was 18 when we first came in, and that was when we were at the Coliseum still with the rink over there. And in the summertime, they'd bring us in, and he was there working out.
Oh, yeah.
In the summertime at 3 in the afternoon. We were doing 2 days. They were just killing us. That was just a normal day to him.
Oh, my God. He was unreal.
Yeah, think of that. Like, that sets the bar. I'm 18 years old with all these other kids, and you see Roddy, and he was in there, too, sometimes training. But Roddy was in there religiously, and Jimmy would be like, that's what it takes to get to the NHL. So you're like, that's the bar. You know, and that's like guys work like that because of guys like that.
I remember when I for my first year,
my wife's favorite player.
My mom's favorite player. Yeah. Oh my God, she fucking loves Roddy.
Loves Roddy.
But what a good man too. Oh. Like one of the nicest humans I've met in hockey. I got to do a lot of stuff with Roddy. It was fun. The 2 years, my first 2 years when I was here before I went to the Phantoms. But I'll never forget when I first got here after my first year in Florida. This guy's. We have a morning skate, right? Like, he goes upstairs before the morning skate, comes down, he's soaked, jumps in the shower, changes stuff, get on the ice, then go back up and lift. And I'm like, I remember the one day I say, once I got to know him, I'm like, we've got a game tonight. He goes, I know, I'm preparing for it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'd never seen anything like it. Like, yeah. I was down in Florida and I just didn't, guys weren't in shape. But you see Roddy,
man,
you
see
muscles. There's muscles in his muscles.
Yeah, like, yeah, right.
He's just there was a great thing a few years ago in the bubble when they showed him. He's out on that field in Toronto.
That's right.
He's got no shirt, and the guys are like, "Yeah, he makes us look stupid." Yeah. Like he's probably in the best shape. What did he say in that one press? They asked him, "Do you think you could?" What did they say? You think you could win faceoff? Like, how would you do in the faceoffs? And he goes. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I could. Yeah. You know, kind of under his breath. I forget exactly what he said, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But you watch him out there on the ice, you're like, dude, like he's in ridiculous shape, man. But yeah. I love that guy. I love Roddy. Yeah.
Willie's down there with him,
yeah,
too.
They're
doing some stuff down there together. Justin Williams. Yeah, another guy great. Came through here. Yeah.
That's it.
Mr. Yep. Game 7.
Yeah, jeez, right.
Man, what a
that
career.
Kid, he just won everything. Everything.
He did. Yeah, well. It's a good guy to have around the young guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. you almost like, I think, I don't know if we talked about it, but like when he ended up finally deciding to retire, I'm like, give him some money to just come be in the room here and be a leader
yeah,
and
right,
teach
exactly.
the game. I'm serious, man. Like, show, yeah. you know, let him play 40 games and have him teach your guys. But he's doing good things down in Carolina, like you said, with Roddy. Great golfer, too. Kind of like you, Fridgy.
Oh, yeah. No, I just hit him long. That's it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 to get it in the hole. Everything.
Yeah, I'm right. Well, Ross is close. Yeah, Ross is right,
I'm right there
with
you.
He doesn't even make 9 holes, this guy. Oh, but, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm excited for this Carolina-Florida Panther series. And even for our old friend Johnny Stevens, you know, he's assistant coach in Vegas, and they made it through their play in Dallas. That was a good series.
It was.
The Dallas series was pretty interesting. At the end, it wasn't at first, but that last game, Game 7, was a pretty good game.
Yep, I agree.
Good Seattle.
Jimmy Montgomery, too. Isn't he in for the...
Jack Adams.
The Jack Adams?
Yeah,
That's a great story, man. You know, that's a great story. He's come back and got another job, another shot at it in Boston. It's good, you know. It's a good feel good story.
Yeah,
yeah,
right,
exactly. 100%.
Coming in there, and they did a good job. I think they went the most points in the year.
Oh, they set a record, NHL record for that's
love to have Bergeron.
Oh. I know. We don't know if he's going to be back, man. Yeah. It looked like he was not at the end of that game, the way he was hugging everyone and all that. So his body. He's played a long time.
He got banged up at the end
he's
of the season.
One of the best.
We played against him, Fridgie, in the lockout year.
Yeah, that's right.
Providence.
Yeah, he was
probably
18 years old.
Example of a captain in today's game.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's unbelievable, that guy.
Yeah. I'd love to play with that guy, man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a...
Did he not get hurt at the end of the season?
Yeah, Baller was saying he played in game 82, right, Baller? And I... Because what was it? What was the reason? His father was there?
In Montreal
there, and he got hurt.
Well, that's right. I guess that was to your point of, like, you know, when he's kind of resting guys towards the end of the season, there's a reason why, and it's
right.
It's generally to not get hurt, but it's also you gotta stay on the gas too,
right.
And not lose momentum. But yeah, though, so hopefully he comes back. I mean,
I hope he does one more year, man. Yeah, right. I mean, how many points did he have, Baller? Like, he still put the points up this year, and obviously he's the best, probably one of the best two-way
players, exactly.
In the league. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. But we're more worried about the Flyboys.
Oh yeah,
and what they're doing. So.
Yeah, so playoffs should be interesting.
Final four.
Final four.
Who you got?
He had.
Well, yeah. I think all my picks are out now. But I have been riding Florida, though, since.
You have been in Florida. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think Tara Vinen's coming back for Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to help their lineup, right? Is it Tara Vinen's coming back? Because he got hurt in the first round. He got hurt in like one of the first couple games, but that'll help their lineup. But fuck Florida, man. Yeah, I'm just riding the way they're playing, man. They're tough to play against. We'll see tonight, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen, Vegas Stars. That Western side's been, I don't know. Who are you going to take, though?
I'm probably just going to go Vegas, Johnny. Back and forth hockey there. Probably go 7.
Think so?
I think so. What do you think?
I kind of like Vegas, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
We'll see.
Place is buzzing.
I know one thing. Baller put his whole life savings on Morgan Frost's pick for Steph Curry. Frosty, this guy, he's living in his car now. He put everything he had on that pick. He said, don't bet against the best shooter of all time.
Mm.
And Baller did. Baller put it in. Debo, let him live with you, for God's sakes, man. Anyway, we're not going to get into basketball talk. Riles wants to, but we're not.
Yeah.
Fridgey, I don't think you've been watching a lot of the NBA.
My daughters are basketball players.
No way!
Steph Curry is Sienna's favorite player.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Playing hoops, I love it.
Yeah, I was good at that game, Bump.
Okay, what are we talking about? Which bump are we talking about?
I was
you start at the foul line, okay. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the other guy behind you has the ball.
Yeah. Dude, I got a fridge store.
I would just miss, and I'd wait for the other guy to shoot and miss, and then I'd hit their balls hard as good.
It's funny you say that. I played that yesterday with the neighborhood kids, and Elvis is so mad at me because I knocked him out like three. They call it knockout now.
Knockout.
But I kind of gave him a chance after he missed his first shot.
Yeah.
And to make the layup, I'm like, dude, if you miss the layup, I'm gonna bury you. And I kept doing it. He was so mad at me. He took my ball and threw it like one time when I missed, and I got out. But anyway, Fridgey played way back in the day at Clarkie's old gym. Mm. We played this men's league, and it was funny because I don't think anyone else besides me played college basketball, but we're playing against these guys. All these men that played.
Well, you're
basketball.
Dirty, nasty. You got a dirty shot. He's got some.
But Fridgey,
got some swag.
Fridgey's playing, and it, like we've talked about you before.
McAllister Fridgey was playing too. Chris McAllister.
He tried. Yeah, he did one time. I thought he played one time too. We thought that'd be great. Oh boy, Big Mac. He had hands like feet.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, Fridgey. We've talked about you before. Fucking guy, your size, the way you run, the way you skated,
like just
a freak athlete. This guy's jumping up and getting rebounds, and I swear to God, you probably remember me saying to you, he's this far above the rim.
I had hops.
And he would get up, he would get the rebound, but he would come down with it, and then he would go up and lay it in, right? Like, because he's a good athlete. Yeah. I'm like,
hammer
Fridge,
that.
Dunk it.
Yeah.
You're up, but you're this far over the rim, you just dunk it when you catch it instead of come down. I don't know if I can. I'm like,
you're already there.
You're this far over the rim, man. Like, I was just like, God, I remember
seeing
Ukrainian
the whole dancing.
Yeah,
like, what
that's exactly what it is.
Charles Barkley of the Bob Clark League, man.
Yeah.
But you weren't there the day Homer Russian sickled the guy, were you?
I think I came to the next few games because Homer did that. Yeah.
Reinforcement?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Homer.
Dude.
Homer played hard.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We used to play in the back of the skate zone.
Check out my checklist. Yeah, because of him.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he would play. Who else would play with us?
My favorite was he would. Barry?
Barry would play?
Yeah. They called him Homer called him
Vanilla Sky. What did they call him?
No, he
Great
called
White
him,
Hope.
No, he called him a there was a defenseman in Colorado that didn't really play D. He called him his nickname.
Oh,
my God, I can't. I'll have to really think about that one, but he used to call him that, but Homer, like, once he lost one game, then it was on.
Oh, yeah.
Then he got mad.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, why are you mad?
We're setting picks.
Oh, man.
Straight up prison rules. Elbows up. Yeah.
Elbows up. I told the story when he was on here, Fridge. Yeah. So one time he got a rebound, and I'm 5 foot nothing. The man is way, but I'm down low always trying to push him because I was the only guy that would guard him. He turned with an elbow, and you know those sharp ass elbows of his hits me right in the. I'm I turn, I'm spitting my vinyl teeth out, and he's like, oh, did I get you? Did you get me?
Oh, did I get you?
Yeah, did you see my chiclets down there? You're going to have to pay for to fix? Yeah. No, but I just never forget, like, Friggy played in that basketball league with us. Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. We didn't win many games. But it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on in Arizona there, Nest?
They put the money out, and you played in Arizona.
Oh, my God.
They put the, you know, what is it, $2.1
billion
thing, and they voted no. I don't understand it.
If they, I'll tell you the story. I remember to look this up, but Shane Doan used to always tell me this when they were going to break ground in Scottsdale. Because remember when I remember going there, and we used to play where the Suns play, and That was a good area. People, they fill it up.
Yeah, because they fill it up for hoops.
And I think it was in the dying hours of the deal that Glendale came in and put this bid in, and they won the bid. And Shane knew, like, he's the captain. He's been with that franchise since we moved there pretty much. Yeah. And he knew that, like, the way where that was, the location, it wouldn't have worked at that moment. He still has his shovel. Wow. He kept the shovel.
No way.
Yeah, he's got it. He used to joke about it because if it was in Scottsdale, they'd be filling it all the time. It's easy access. It's right in the middle of where the main population is. Glendale, yeah, you got it for cheaper, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's a drive.
You got to get out there.
Well, that's it.
You have to win.
It's a deal breaker.
You got to win to get them out there.
You have to win to get them out there, right? Like,
it would have been different if it was, I think, you know, that's what he says.
It's a
shame. We would have been a completely different thing.
Well, Friggy, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but, like, why didn't they just stay out where the Suns play and play in that building?
I don't know. Well, the building wasn't outfit for it because the back area – that's what it was. It was just built for basketball.
Like Brooklyn.
It's like exactly like that. And you couldn't get the amount of seats in there or something like that.
Oh, they got more than they got now.
Well, that's right.
4,000.
Yeah, dress as a seat night in Arizona.
Well, they played at ASU this year. And what's it hold, Debo? 5,000? 4,000? Something like that? It's a nice arena, but it's fucking tiny.
Yeah. It would work, but location is everything.
I just
think they can't get that deal. So
everyone loves it.
Where do they go?
Well, that's what they're saying Houston, they're saying maybe Quebec. A lot of people push for Quebec, but Houston seems to be kind of a front runner, but they're actually talking about Atlanta again.
That is so odd.
I mean, that'd be three times.
Yeah. The last one was a miserable failure, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. I had something good come out of there one time, though. Good trip.
Quebec. Quebec might work, too.
Yeah, but there was no one at those games when we were playing Atlanta. That was when Marty Baron told Bolton, hey, you going to fight this guy tonight?
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
Dude, why would you do that to Riles?
Marty Beast teen up fights, yeah, playing Marty Don Beast. King.
They were out in the morning skate, Friggy, and me and Riles are standing there talking. Of course, well, Marty was talking. We were listening.
Yeah.
And Bolton comes over, and he's like, what's up, Marty? Because they played together at Buffalo. And he goes, just looking at the guy you're going to have to fight tonight. And he's pointing at Riles. He's like, just standing there. And Bolton goes, I don't want to fight anybody. Riles goes, thank God, I don't either. But you did.
You ended up
fighting. For about 2 minutes.
Like,
that guy loved the long fights, man.
He was a good fighter.
He
blew my eardrum out.
He blew my eardrum out.
Yeah, because this was after the big injury.
Oh, my God.
And we were older by this time. So he's like, I asked him to fight. And he's just like, why?
Why?
Well, it was the fight to break 1,000 pims. And I broke I wanted to break 1,000 pims with a fight. Like, I don't know why. And then... You busted my ear.
Yeah.
And he's got that heavy punch. He's a good fighter.
Lasted a
really long time.
He's
you got to tip your hat, guys. Lasts a long time doing that, man. It's a tough gig. And
well, you guys know that.
Bolts used to ask me how many cheeseburger or cheesesteaks I had when I was in Philadelphia. He used to tease me all the time. I was the worst at comebacks, wasn't I? You burn me, and I'm just marbles in my mouth.
You had to wait a shift.
I just punch them. I just punch them. Somebody starts chirping me. Yeah, it's just terrible at the comeback. Yeah, I lose every time.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the game around fighting? I know, like, when we first had you on, it was probably 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while back.
You know, obviously it was trending.
Down.
It was trending down and everything, but where are you at as far as...
It seems like it's picked back up a little bit.
This year, yeah.
I agree. I don't know, like, what... Well, that's just, I hope it always stays in hockey.
I do too, man.
You know, I think it's kind of like a spillover of the passion, right? It's just these guys care. And you know what? I think fans enjoy it. You know, at the end of the day, these guys are two willing combatants.
If yeah, they right.
understand what they're signing up for and what they're fighting for, you know, then it's an okay thing, you know. But if it gets out of hand and it's stupid, stop, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't bother. Don't bother.
It's not like when you guys are playing. And I don't think it's going to
stay. Yeah.
It's not like when you guys are playing. I love the part of hockey that's to me is the greatest is when two guys are battling and they're playing hard and they do get pissed off at each other, they just drop them and go.
Yeah.
Like I've said this before, like I couldn't even imagine what you guys did and what you went through. I was around you both. I saw it. I know it's hard, but like if I had to fight, I'd rather be pissed off, something happened and I just go than what you guys had to do where think you're taking it. A nap, trying to take a nap the day of a game knowing, well, I got to fight this guy tonight. I don't have to, but I'm probably going to have to. Because even when you were still playing.
I used to sleep as much as I could, so I wouldn't think.
So you wouldn't think?
Yeah, yeah, that was one of my tactics. Get to bed and sleep as much as you can. And I had good guys, man. I had good veterans around me. Luke Richardson. These guys said it's okay to be afraid. Talk it.
Yeah.
You know, Chief, these guys, it's like if you're not afraid, you're not ready, man.
Right.
That's going to, and you know, it's cliches, but it keeps you ready. And it teaches you respect, too. Sure. You can get hurt. You can get hurt real bad. Guys do get hurt real bad, but that's I still love the honor of that if done right.
Right.
Like there was a code that we lived by, and I like to think that I played to that code.
Yep.
You know, and I enjoyed doing it. I not the fighting part. I enjoyed the role and the reasons behind it. Sticking up for a teammate so that they can play better, and then you win kind of through them with them. Right.
Yeah.
And it's an element that is there. It is palpable. A guy has more room.
Oh,
guys back off.
Oh, it's a real thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then those guys get to dance and be more creative because you ain't afraid. You know?
Right.
And that's the element that I think, keep it around. Keep it around, like with a good head or something. But I think that's something that's honorable in the game that you can keep around, man. Because that's really what it's about.
I agree.
You know, let's not, like, get that confused with you know what it is. It did get out of hand.
Oh yeah.
You know, with staged, but that was the rule changes.
That was exactly it, right?
Yeah, you almost had to call and make an appointment. Like, hey, I remember that from last game in period 3 did the violation of our code. We're going to have to set a date for the next game. Start of the second period, we'll get a couple shifts in first, and then we'll go do-si-do, and then we'll be done, right? And then we're done. And that's how it was. Like, that's what it became. Yeah.
Frizzy,
write
so
that
funny.
Little black book down. He did that.
We had Jay Rosehill on a while back, and Rosie was talking about when he was trying to get his fight with Brad May. Remember, May was in Detroit, and he was like, hey, can I get one? He goes, yeah, let me get a shift in here. Let me get a shift. He's like, all right. So he comes back. He says a couple shifts. And he's like, hey, can we go? And he's like, I got a couple more shifts. And then he finally said, okay, let's go. And Rosie's like, Jesus Christ, man, I just want to get this over with, right? But you're right.
It's a veteran maneuver right there.
You know, you knew what was coming, and we've talked about that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Work you guys did. Oof, it was tough, man.
But how do you see it playing out from like the junior levels up? They banned it in the Quebec Major Junior League, so I would imagine that's going to trickle to the OHL Western Hockey League, and then so these guys have no experience coming to the pro leagues, and then is it just like a slow progression of actually weaning this thing out completely, or what?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they're banning it completely. It's probably the start, you know, but how are you going to do that?
Let me ask you this thing. So you're not allowed to fight. Are stick infractions going to go up? Are guys going to do dumber shit?
Well, look at the games now. Guys are getting more.
There's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys sticking people, and then guys going to be like, screw it. They drop their glove, and they're going to start pounding someone. And then what happens?
Well, sussies.
Well, I know, but like, I feel like sussies. If you have that thought in the back of your head that if I do something really stupid, I'm going to get grabbed, you don't do it. But
we've talked,
you know what I mean? Like the accountability.
Yeah, I know. Well, especially with no visor. Well, I guess they'll have visors now.
From doing something.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Keep you do that keep again. Keep on your toes a little bit.
I'm going to fine you $5,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Ten?
Yeah, I know.
$10? Sure.
Yeah.
They better off punch him.
Yeah, well, I guess they'll just keep hiding.
But that doesn't work
behind special
teams,
right? It's just like,
yeah,
we'll just sell it and go on the power play, and it kind of seems like the strategy now, anyways, right?
Yeah,
it's
a lot of times.
But we'll see, I guess.
We'll see.
Hopefully not. Like I totally agree. Like, obviously, we've come a long way from Broad Street Bullies. And
it's evolved.
Clean it up. I mean, but like, to me, the element of accountability can still be there in spontaneous situations.
Yeah, don't take it out.
Don't
just
take it out.
Just leave it in the rules.
Yeah,
leave
right.
it in the rules. Yeah. It's not allowed. You know, so it's you're getting penalized for it.
Yeah,
right.
Like, exactly. Right.
You know, taking fighting out of the game, man. How are you going to do that? Take hitting out. You can't. Sometimes it just happens.
You can't.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you just bump into a guy. Like, what do you like? Just let's stay out of it. Yeah. Keep
yep.
politics out of sport. Period.
Right.
And then you're okay.
Yeah. Yep. I agree yeah. with that. Well said.
That's another thing. Yeah. Let's get into this.
All right. Since you opened that can of worms up, let's hear it.
Well, it is. I think it is important. Competition is what it is. It's not comfortable. It's
right.
it's engagement. It's
yeah, right.
It's getting comfortable with the things that people have to get comfortable with in the real world. You know, someone's going to want something you might want, and they're going to go after it, and you might have to compete
yeah.
with them yep. to get it. Whatever shape that takes, but
yeah.
you have to keep those elements of a safe environment of engagement, right? Where there's rules, right? There's code
mm-hmm.
that we're all in agreements. These things happen here. If it's whatever it may be, but let them play out there. Parents forgot this. I'm a parent. I got 3 kids. We forgot to watch our kids solve the problems on the field.
Yeah,
we get involved right. now.
Oh,
that's
yeah, exactly.
a huge
yeah,
problem.
Yeah.
We yep. forgot how much we learn from watching them. They kids, all even through high school, they get through their experiences better without us.
Totally.
Stay out of it
yeah, stay
and
out
learn
of it.
How they solve it, because you can learn something from that.
Yeah.
You know, kids will solve problems better than any parents will, and you tilt the field for the kid on the field
yeah.
by being a parent and getting involved, and that yeah. goes for hockey in general.
Yeah.
You know, watch how things pan out in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's how decisions should be made sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I see.
Look at old Donnybrook.
Yeah.
You know? I know, right? Yeah.
It's in a safe environment. I'm not, you know, promoting that, but it's look, violence is a part of society. If you don't think it is, then you're missing the boat here.
Yeah.
You know, not condoning it or anything, but you
right.
can't go blind eye to it. It's part of things, and you know, it gets into a safe place to see it in sport. You know, competition is good. There's got to be a loser. There's got to be a winner, and everybody can't win. You know,
right?
Like that's ultimately what it is.
Yeah.
And let it play out there. Politics stay out. Yeah. That's where everything gets gray.
Yeah, fully nah. agree.
That's why sport is good for everything. Competition's good for everything. It leads into things that are happening in society.
Yeah.
You know, mental health, right? The power of the athlete, the power of sport, and mental health is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know the area very well. I know the area very well. I think as athletes we have a responsibility. We are put on a pedestal, you know, in society as wow, look at what the human body can achieve. You know, and we forgot about this one thing that actually all athletes kind of know. What's the secret? 80%, 90% of this is mental.
Oh, totally.
And we've completely forgotten that, you know. Kids yeah. that are playing sports and all these things that are going on in society and whatnot, we've forgotten how to be a little bit gritty and get through some things. And
yeah.
And I think athletes have a responsibility to be kind of a you know, leading the charge for that. You know, if you're going through some stuff, get up, stand up, and ask for help. There's plenty of places and there's plenty of people that have gone through similar situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, we speak very, very intimately about those things, Riley, and
yeah.
I appreciate that stuff too.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you're seeing more and more of it. You know, guys are becoming more vulnerable. You know, Carey Price, you know, comes
yeah.
out and puts himself in rehab, and you know, there's some Olympic athletes that have pulled themselves out of competition.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously a positive thing for younger generational athletes to see, so they don't feel forced or stressed into situations that they, you know, maybe don't feel comfortable in. But there's a lot of work to be done, you know. Mm. Like the mindset around the performance element is one thing, but then like the whole off ice, off the field type of mental health issues, right? Everyone's got their own things going on, you know, family stuff, relationship stuff, which is a whole other, you know, mental bucket, right? That we need to, you know, cultivate and nourish.
Yeah.
That I feel like sometimes, it seems like it's not really taught within sport, right? It's train the physical body. It's get bigger, faster, stronger, you know, skill work, you know, from 3 years old, 4 years old, all the skills in the world. Yeah. But it's like the mind is like the piece that's not being trained. It hasn't been overly focused on, you know, and I think that's, you know, coaching the Phantoms there for years was, and you've seen it. It's the guys that the mind is the thing that prevents guys from making it, or it's the thing that prevents guys from staying in the NHL is that ability to stay consistent. It's the focus a little bit, and then lack of focus. You know what I mean? And that's the determining factor. It's not their physical stature. It's not their skill.
Yeah.
It's the mind always, right?
And then see a lot of that.
Yeah, right?
Such an element of, I don't know if it's I think it's surrender. Like, to that, so that you don't let that thing get you off kilter. You got to kind of like...
Well, it's distraction, right?
It's distraction.
It's just like all these stories you tell yourself. Well, I'm not good enough. It's self-doubt. It's all these, you know, these negative self-talk, right?
Yeah.
Versus just like putting a period at the end of each shift. You know, bad play, mistake, who cares? Yeah. You know, move on.
Yeah.
And the guys that you've seen, the guys that, you know, the best in the game, like, they make mistakes.
Yeah.
And they're okay with it. They don't beat themselves up and overly much.
Oh, man.
Some of them do. But
those players, Scotty Niedermayer.
Yeah, right.
He's got just water off a duck's back. Oh, we're getting into it. And he just come calmly and calm the whole game down. Guys like that.
Right.
Yeah. Lyon was like short, that. Alex Lyon was like
short
that.
Memories. Yeah, you got to have a short memory.
Neil Little, just cool as a cat, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's a skill that could be, you know, obviously could be cultivated.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, like so many guys, I've seen so many guys so hard on themselves.
Yeah.
You see the young generation so hard on themselves. And it's like that energy could be focused on producing versus just like worrying about your last mistake. And we can go on for days on all that stuff.
I know.
But that does translate into the off-ice stuff.
Yeah.
Then you start self-medicating. You know what I mean? It's taking your mind off the game. And then there's all these unhealthy ways of dealing with the stress and the emotional toll of the game. And, you know, then it goes down these dark paths if it's not nipped in the bud or expressed properly. So I think this is the world we're in now, right?
Just bang, different. You're alone.
Yeah.
And then you've got to live two lives.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in this place and I've got to live up to this thing. Yeah. The athlete. Yeah. And that goes for anybody.
Exactly. Right.
It's that dynamic, that second life, that second secrets.
Yeah.
There's I'm glad to be associated with guys like you in this area, in this community, right? Because we live here. You know, this is our area, and it's nice that there's even guys like Chris Therrien.
Yeah.
You know, he's out there loud and proud, and he's had his battles, and he's had his demons, and I'm just proud to be part of a fraternity of men like that that are associated with the Flyers as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and that's what we're about. You know, we've always been that from Mr. Snyder down.
Yep.
You have time, son. You go out. And you go to the hospitals and you go visit the kids because you don't know how much, and he'd point at that thing and he'd go, that has an effect on them.
Yeah.
You know, he understood that very well. So, and we can bring that back.
Yeah.
We can bring that back. It's our job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What better way to help your community than really, really getting down and dirty and getting some of the people that are in a bad place up and out.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I do now. And I love
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Being of service. It's a good gig, man.
Sweet. Well, great way to end, man.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you stopping by and sharing your time with us. Always great
anytime,
to see you, brother.
Guys.
Fridgy 2.0.
2.0. It's been a while.
I know. Yeah. It's been a while. Fuck, I feel pretty. Do you guys want to go? Either one of you.
You got extra space today.
I might score a goal.
You might.
Play with you guys.
Get those pins moving.
Yeah. but seriously, Fridgy, we appreciate you, man. Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Good seeing you as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with everything and look forward to seeing you around a little more.
Yes. Yes.
Big thank you to our friend Fridge, Dorik.
Always fun to talk to him.
Yeah.
Too bad we couldn't put before and after on the show because we got some good laughs from Fridgy, but we thank him, man. He's a great guy, and he's been through a lot, man, and he's coming up on top, so it's always good to see that. Feel-good story with Fridgy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and nice to see him doing some good work with the alumni, the Warriors, and just in general in the community.
Just a beauty.
He's a beauty.
He's a beauty.
I've known Fridgy a long time.
Yeah, you played junior with him.
I did, yeah, so I've seen the old Fridgy, the
I have to.
Yeah, the somewhat evolved Fridgy, and then the current Fridgy. So yeah. it's nice to see.
He's doing great.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I appreciate you, Fridgy.
Yeah, it's that time, Nast.
It is that time. I believe it is. It's time for the clear questions, brought to you by Clear Rum. And you know what, Riggs?
What do you got?
We got a special promo code from Clear Rum.
Love promo codes.
It's Nasty2023. Get you 35% off.
Ooh.
On an order, only if you're living in PA, though.
Yep.
So keep it to the Pennsylvania residents.
Yep.
That it's a great deal, though, and it's delivered to you.
Oh, right to you.
So
you don't have to go nowhere. No kinda, gas, no time.
No, nothing. Just put the order in, put Nasty 2023, and get 35% off.
All right, we're ready,
love
Baller.
It. Let's go, Baller.
This one's from Howie's World over on Twitter. He said Tempe voted against the Coyotes arena build, and what do you guys think will happen next?
Man, I don't know. I hate to see. I hope they don't leave. Obviously, they're going to eventually have to leave. Yeah. I mean, they won't be able to do it this year, Riggs, unless they can build like Calgary that quick. But
warp
in all
speed.
Yeah, warp speed. But all seriousness, like the, you know, you're here in Houston. I remember when the American League was there. It's American League. They had a decent following. I think they had a team there in the International Hockey League as well. But Atlanta has come up. I just don't know. You know, Atlanta hasn't worked twice.
Yeah.
I personally loved going to Atlanta. But either Houston or Quebec, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see a Canadian team. I'm just not sure on the old Canadian dollar, the strength
right.
of it and the business yep. Side of things. On, you know, in theory, it sounds great. You
right.
know? I'm sure they would love it there.
Yeah.
But it is a business. And, yeah, I don't know what to think, honestly. But I guess we'll see.
We'll find out, yeah.
Maybe they can hang on there somehow. And
I wish they could.
I just don't see it. I think it's been kind of a dying project for some time, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We'll see.
Yep, great question. No, thank you for the question.
Mm-hmm. Notorious P.I.G. actually said, would the arena be ready by opening night if they moved to Calgary?
I love that. I don't think it will be. Riley thought, maybe.
I'm an optimist, yeah, Nast.
You are.
You see the way they're building buildings in China. You never know.
You never know. There. It is there. It is there.
But probably not.
Probably not.
This one's from Roman Griffin over on Twitter. He wanted to know if the Flyers are going to target any free agents, change the culture of this lifeless team.
Wow. I don't think they will, but unless it's something very small. Well, you know, I don't think they're going to be targeting anyone. I think they're going to try to get younger, which Danny brought up in his press conference there. And I don't see them trying to. I don't think there is a huge free agent anyway, but I don't think they'll do anything.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I heard Danny speak about they're possibly going to be younger than they were this year.
Yeah.
You know, again, you're getting Atkinson back, Coots back, yeah. You know, some veteran guys there. I know that obviously they were already on the squad, but they
yeah, but
didn't participate.
They didn't
but it's like, yeah, they didn't play. So it's kind of like adding a couple free agents in some way, shape, or form. I don't see them chasing nothing. In fact, I think it's just all about, you know, probably trying to accelerate the development of these guys and give them reps, give them opportunities, and build off that.
Yeah, I think they're gonna make trades to get assets and picks and things like that. So, like you said, Danny did say we'll probably be a younger team. So I don't see him going out targeting anyone.
No.
We got one more from your buddy. What was his name?
Matt Trey. Oh my goodness.
He's thinking about a new rule. He said, how do you guys feel about the PK team being able to ice the puck? That rule needs to go.
I don't understand that, Matt. I don't know where you're getting that because it's been from day one. I got to bust your chops because I love you. I think his thinking is you're penalized, so you shouldn't be able to ice the puck, but then you're shorthanded. That's the penalty, that you're shorthanded. So I don't think that rule will ever change, buddy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been in since the start of time, hasn't it?
I think he was in some of your munchies there. I think Matt was doing that. But thanks for the question, bro. Appreciate you, man.
All right. I think that's a wrap.
All right.
Episode 118 in the books, Nast.
Yep.
Thanks to our friends Clear Rum for the clear questions. Until next week, episode 119, be sure to check us out on social media, YouTube, subscribe, and stay tuned for updates on the tailgate.
Yes.
And until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.